Hello and welcome to DNF1, and it's been the sprint race today, the first that we've ever had in Formula 1. And Derek, come to you first. Did you enjoy it? Was it good? Did you love it? Did you?
Yes.
I'm glad. I was kind of worried looking at your face. I was like, he can't hear me. He can't hear me at all.
Yes, it was great. It was brilliant. It was absolutely wonderful. I think I'll give you the answer short and sweet, pal. You're all right.
No, that's cool. I think you oversold it a wee bit, but yeah.
No, seriously, I'd like to see that more often. I'd like to see it every race, and maybe two of them.
Definitely.
Like they do in the F2. They have three races over the weekend, so let's go for two sprint races.
Well, that's it. It's a tried and tested way to work it. So why they don't apply it to Formula 1, I'm not entirely sure. I'm actually surprised it's taken this long to come to Formula 1. Gareth, did you enjoy the sprint race?
Partly.
Yeah, partly. Well, you were working at the time, so you only saw me half, yeah.
First 10 laps were good. Bit of a snooze fest after that. But no, I think overall, as we say, the format could really work well, yeah.
Yeah, I think it can work well. The problem lies that I think the tyres went off. Derek, would you say that the tyres that they had on the cars were good for a sprint race? Or was it a case of the people that went on softs? We've got four people went on softs. We've got Alonso, we've got Ocon. So that was the two Alpines that decided to go with the softs on this. Bottas, so that was Merck splitting the strategy, and then Kimi on the softs. And to be fair, apart from Bottas, they all made up good places on the softs, but they were struggling towards the end, though.
No more than the leaders were struggling on the end. I mean, the tyres were blistered on both Max's car and Lewis's car. They were really badly worn at the front. So if they'd gone any longer, I think we would have been seeing a tyre change in a sprint race, which would have been... But I do think they need to be a little bit longer. I think 17 laps is just a little bit too short. Like in F2, they do 21 laps. So they need to just make it that little bit longer. I think half distance would probably be okay for a sprint race, especially for the people that have come in to watch something on the day, sort of thing, you know, for the punters.
Yeah.
Half distance race, that would be all right. You know.
Gareth, how would you improve the spectacle for sprint race?
We mentioned earlier, you know, the new cars coming next year, and I suppose that's a big part of what sits with F2 as well. You know, those cars are pretty much all the same.
Yeah,
I think that's we'll see a difference if they continue into the next season. Then I think it would work really well.
The sprint race test, we've got obviously this one here at Silverstone. The next one will be at Monza, and then a third race that's undecided because it was going to be Brazil. Brazil's not looking as if that's going to go ahead. The results of the sprint race, we had Max Verstappen actually took first. He went up one place, past Hamilton, dropped him one place. They got him, basically, Hamilton had a poor start. I don't think we could really say anything else. I think Max would have caught up with him. Anybody disagree that Max was going to win that?
No.
No.
Nah, Max was on fire, literally.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. He came up to the line at the start of the warm-up lap, and the flames were licking at the side of the wheel just before he started the race. He'd worked the tyres that hard.
That's why they call it a warm-up lap.
Bottas on the softs didn't really... I mean, for Bottas being on the softs, he didn't really make any inroads in the guys at the front, but you would have expected, being on the soft tyres, he would have been challenging there on the first few laps.
I actually think he would have gone past Max if Max hadn't had such a blistering start. But when he came up on Hamilton, I think he went, better hold station here. And, you know, I don't want to get... I'm already in a lot of trouble. If I overtake flipping Hamilton at the British Grand Prix, I'm going to be hung, drawn and quartered, and I won't get back to flipping... Finland at the best of times, you know. So I think that's what I think he just held the station, and he was there to stop Perez getting through. I think that was the plan.
I think, he, like you said, if Max hadn't had such a good start, Bottas would have been trying to put pressure on Max. I mean, I text Gareth and I says, why don't they just get Bottas to run into the back of Max, take a wheel off, and the two of them's out, and then Hamilton's clear for the race tomorrow?
Because he's going to catch him.
It's not very sportsmanship-like, but... You know, Leclerc held station in fourth, troubled Bottas for a bit of the time. But again, this is the problem I saw with the sprint races. After the first like, five, six, seven laps at most, the gap started to open up that we normally see in a race. And then it was kind of like we would normally be sitting waiting on the first round of pit stops to try and something happen. But that's more down to the cars. That's the thing. That's an ongoing problem. We'll see how it plays out at some of the other tracks. Norris and Ricciardo went up one place. Both of them went up a place because of the DNF of Perez. We'll talk about that, obviously, once we get to Perez. But Ricciardo certainly looked racy. He didn't look like he was off the pace. And to be fair, fifth and sixth on the grid for them tomorrow. They can't really complain at that, Derek, can they?
The only thing they can complain at is the fact that Alonso held them up and stopped them getting anywhere near to Leclerc at the front. His weaving was a little bit over the top. You know, he stuck within the letter of the law, but I think he pushed it and he didn't have the speed in front of them. So therefore, I think if they'd have got past him a lot earlier,
yeah,
there would have been a bit more of a race on board for them. You know what I mean? For both Norris and for Ricciardo. But they were held up and they lost out and they were a lot of seconds behind Leclerc.
Derek mentioned Alonso there, Gareth. Alonso had a bit of a blistering start. Do you think that's the old fox that is Alonso and experience coming through?
It seemed to be. He'd done a lot of the overtaking on the outside. And he was hanging out there. It's his experience.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the softs, Derek, so surely that
was a brand new set.
Yeah, Bottas was on a scrubbed set, but Alonso in these softs, can we see some sort of performance like that for him tomorrow, Derek?
If he's got a nice new set of red tyres for tomorrow, yes.
For the first how many laps, eh?
Two.
Yes, yeah. 15 laps, he should do quite well.
Behind Alonso, we've got Vettel, who went up a couple of places. Then we've got Russell, who qualified fantastic yesterday. He went back one place, had a wee bit of a tussle with Sainz trying to go around the outside of him. And I think Russell just understeered wide. They made contact, but it's under investigation. Sainz went back to 11th. He dropped two places. But still, Russell's still inside the top 10. And to be honest, this sprint race, my concern was that Russell was going to go back into the clutches of 13th, 14th, 15th, and it didn't happen. Was that a case of Russell is on the pace on that car because it was on mediums and it's starting to show the performance that the development work and the spend has gone into, along with Russell actually home support and just maturing this season?
Yes, I think Russell showed his maturity in this race. He's motivated by the fans. He's getting the sort of support he wants from behind. And he's had some good news, we hope. And
he's motivated by that Mercedes contract.
Yeah, the big paycheck that's sat in his bank balance, you know, that he's got now that he can do what he wants. You know, I think he did well. He held station. It just proves that if he gets the car up there, they can stay there. The others behind, because they start at the back, stay at the back. I still think there's a good call for a reverse grid, and one day maybe the FIA will bite the bullet and risk it. I think it's the teams that don't want it. The team, you know, the manufacturers don't want it. You know, they go, "Oh, Max qualifies first, but now he's starting 10th." Aye, well.
No, Derek, you know what will happen is Ferrari will come in with a car next season and it'll be terrible. And then the FIA will be like, "Reverse grids, folks."
And Ferrari will go, "Yes, that's a good idea. Yeah, we might have a pole."
Look, the thing is, obviously, we had Alonso in the softs, we had Ocon in the softs, and we had Kimi in the softs, and Gareth, they all made up places. Did that go to show that the rest of the field, instead of being on mediums, should have all been in softs as well? The softs made it to the end, didn't they?
They made it. I don't know. See, if you'd had Max and Lewis on softs, I don't think that they would have held out.
No.
You've seen the state of the mediums on both their cars by the end. In fact, the only reason that Hamilton is just, you know, under a second and a half behind them is because Max lifted.
He was
told to kind of come off the curbs and slow up a wee bit. And that's the only reason that Lewis is that bit closer.
Do you think that defeats the purpose of having a sprint race? If when in the sprint race, you're told to slow down because the tyres won't stand up to it. And we are on the hardest set of compounds. Maybe they should have started all of the runners on the hard compounds. And then that way we wouldn't have had this problem. That would have defeated the purpose, surely. Derek?
They were on the medium tyres, you know, and they were wearing them out as they were going around. But Max had got a 3-second lead over Hamilton. So, I mean, for him to lift, he lifted so that it brought Hamilton back within a second and a half of him. So he lost a second and a half. He scrubbed a second and a half off of his lap times just to let him come back in again.
So he was told to stay off the curbs.
Yeah,
he was told to stay off the curbs. He was told he'd got a good 3-second gap to Hamilton so he could lift a little bit and drive a bit more conservatively, didn't have to go over the curbs, and both on the left-hand side and the right-hand side.
I mean, the track temperature was up there. It was up at 50 degrees, and Pirelli have brought the new and improved rear tyres, which are also the shoulders are meant to actually be stronger, so there's less chance of a puncture. We will see tomorrow in the race how that plays out. But they did say that the softs would do 17 laps, and clearly the people that were on softs were like, not really, when the mediums were struggling. And they didn't have full fuel loads. It was a sprint race fuel load that they had in the car. So I questioned having a sprint race and tyres that don't allow them to sprint to the race. You know, you don't go into the 100 metres and 20 metres before then you hit a slow up because the rubber's coming off your trainer. It just, Formula One's trying this, but I still feel that there's a lot of things need ironed out for it to be a proper sprint race.
Yeah, but if you're already a lap ahead on your 100 metre or whatever, you know, 400 metres or whatever it is, if you're already a lap ahead,
oh, well, that's,
you know, you
fine,
can afford, and you start to lose the rubber on your shoe, you can afford to hop across the line if you really want.
Yeah, but no, if Hamilton's that close, if Hamilton's only 3 seconds behind, then he's still breathing down your neck. And that tyre was, they were telling him to take care of the tyres. In a sprint race, we shouldn't have those types of radio messages. I just...
Well, the radio message to Hamilton was, just to let you know that Verstappen has problems with his tyres, and Lewis' reply was, yeah, tell me about it. And he had the exact same, because they were following each other, so they were going over the same bits of road as well. So
yeah. The thing is, they seen that blistering on
FP2,
Friday.
FP1, yeah.
Friday, FP1, yeah. When Hamilton done the longer runs.
The thing is, if anything, if they're going to have a sprint race, they should have a sprint race tyre that they can bring and it'll do the laps and it'll give them the grip and that would make the difference. Yeah. But I get it. They're testing it and so on and so forth. We will see how it progresses. So Sainz was sitting at 11th and, as I said, him and Russell had that coming together. It'll be under investigation. Hopefully nothing will come of that recent incident in the first lap. Gasly held station in 12th. Kimi was another soft drummer and went up 4 places. The people round about him were on mediums: Stroll, Giovinazzi, Tony Sunda, Latifi. And to be honest, Kimi going up through that again shows a bit similar to Alonso. It's that elder statesman of the sport, knows what they're doing. When they've got soft tyres and they've got to overtake, then it really is a case of get to the old boys.
Keeps out of trouble when he needs to.
Yeah, when he's no messing about with things.
Unfortunately, during the race.
No messing about with things on his steering wheel and running up people's backsides and stuff, as we've seen twice this season. Stroll in 14th, Giovinazzi went down one place, and then we've got Tony Sunda, Latifi, Mick Schumacher, and Mazepin, who had a spin in the second bend. All of those guys all went up one place, but Perez obviously came down the way. So Perez finishing in 20th. Derek, how do you see that affecting the race tomorrow? Max is... obviously got pole position. Perez, his wingman, ain't going to be there. Is this has just seen a repeat of the seasons past where Hamilton and Bottas are going to gang up on Max? Mercedes can split the strategy.
It's two on to one. So it's going to be as long as Bottas decides to perform, yes, we'll have a 2-on-1 scenario. And, he can get in the way when if they pit Verstappen first, he can get in the way, so it makes it more difficult to give Lewis chance for the overcut or undercut or whichever way around they decide to do it.
With that tomorrow, do you think the Red Bull will just say to Max, look, just build as big a gap at the start as possible because otherwise we're going to get screwed when it comes to the pit stops?
It's probably the only thing.
He doesn't have any other option, does he? Yeah. I mean, that's it. It's just going to be a case of, Max, go! Go, 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 go.
It was almost like Perez, I mean, obviously he had a terrible start, went back a few places, and then in his haste to try and get back up the standings again, had his little off.
Yeah, he was behind the two McLarens at the time, so I think it was maybe a mixture of dirty air and pushing. But unfortunately, it's really left him in a bit of a sticky wicket. I don't think Red Bull, Derek, I don't think Red Bull's going to be worrying about this too much, really.
No, I mean, they think they've got it. And again, my classic line is, it's Red Bull's and Max's to lose. And as long as he plays it cool, drives off into the sunset, he'll win this race with no problem at all. But if he has to start thinking about it, or if he has to start working things out, he's got a good chance of losing it.
Tomorrow, the race starts at 3 p.m. British summer time. They will have to then obviously revert back to having to use two compounds on the car. They will have to do a mandatory pit stop, and they will be starting with full fuel loads. And the grid that we've obviously just sort of worked our way through, there's not really but anybody out of place on that grid apart from Perez. We expect Perez will be obviously having to come through from the back. But looking at how it stands, I'll come to you first, Eric. Do you think sprint racing has mixed up the grid in the way we had hoped, or has it just really kind of gives an extra race and it's gave us the kind of grid that we would have expected?
Yeah, I think it's got the potential to give us the kind of race and grid mix-up we want. Teams will look at it totally differently now, having seen how it worked today, and they can go, we can actually see an advantage of doing this, and I think they'll get that from it. We'll find that maybe during the break they have a good chat and a good thing and say, yes, we want to do this, and they'll announce that next year we're going to have a sprint race every Saturday. So yeah. I'm fairly sure from just that one viewing, as a person who watches Formula One, I would say it needs to a big thumbs up for it, because it was good.
Well, any racing we can get, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing, but it's got to be close racing. And Derek, next year, 22's race car, this result that we've seen here where, let's be honest, the full field, it was nearly a minute between first and last on the times. Hopefully, with the new car, we don't see that, and it's maybe a 20-second spread, half a minute spread, something like that. Gareth, the next sprint race is going to be at Monza. How do you see it playing out? Monza is a completely different track to Silverstone. Do you think we're going to see something similar in the sprint race there, or is it going to be, again, another step into the unknown?
I think, again, you're starting over again. It's a fresh start. It's a different track. We don't know what tyres we're going to have. We don't know what the teams are learning this weekend. But yeah. I think, you know, as we're saying, it's what we want to see. We're seeing racing twice. Okay, we're getting two races in one weekend. Practice sessions are good, but yeah, they don't really do a lot for us sitting watching.
That's it. Practice sessions you can watch in the background when you're doing other stuff. And then when it comes to the actual sprint race, that certainly... And by taking away one practice, we've got this sprint race. And I think that's a fair trade-off. And certainly the more uncomfortable the teams can be by only giving them 2 hours running, then the better it is. I'm for it. Let's see how it goes. Derek?
But look on the other side. I mean, if they wanted to give them the 3 hours practice, that then all they have to do is stick the extra half hour back on P1 and P2, and then you've got the same 3 hours anyway. So,
well, that's it, folks. Join us tomorrow. It will be a late one. It will be posted after midnight because work commitments. But we are looking to still do the podcast, and join us on that for the race results. So there's nothing else really to say except it's goodbye for me.
Ta-ra, everybody.
And it's goodbye from him. Take care. Stay safe. I enjoyed that sprint race. Let's have more. See you later. Take care. Bye for now.
This has been a Beardercat production for DNF1.